and it's the month of November, a new month, and a subject that most of us know something about. We're going to talk about Facebook. Wow. Thanks for joining us today. We have with us as our panelists...
This is Josh.
And...
Linda C.
Well, we're glad that all of you are here because a lot of you use Facebook. You know, we have Studio Classroom on Facebook too, don't we?
We do. Yeah, you can find it.
You can find it on Facebook,
well.
And you can find it on YouTube, and what else? All kinds of ways.
All kinds of ways on the web, and even in ways not on the web. So in a magazine, for example, like in stores.
Social media.
Social media, on the radio.
You know, if I were going to ask you this question, how many of you have Facebook, I wonder how many of the people listening in today have Facebook. Do you think most of them do, Linda?
I think a majority of our listeners would have Facebook because it's been around for a while and something I think just everybody has made an account, even if they don't use it that often.
That's true. And, you know, I think the good things about Facebook are the fact that people can see friends that they haven't heard from for a long time, and all of a sudden they appear on Facebook and you get in touch with them. That's kind of one of the nice things, isn't it?
It is very nice. I have a lot of friends of mine from high school that I don't see very often because they are in very different parts of the world, and it is a good way for me to be able to kind of keep up on what they're doing and what they're interested in, even though I don't talk to them very often.
Right, and all your relatives, you can keep in touch with them that way. Isn't that right, Linda?
And I've discovered old friends or old classmates through Facebook. I'd lost contact with them, and through Facebook, I was able to get in touch with them again.
It's amazing how many people use Facebook. And so the article today on page 10 in the magazine says, Facebook continues to flourish. Does that mean it's getting along okay?
Doing very well. It's growing and thriving and prospering.
That's true. It's flourishing. But is Facebook ready for 2 billion users and beyond?
That is the question of the day.
That is a question. 2 billion sounds like a lot of people to me.
Sure does.
It does, yes.
For anything, you know. And so we're going to find out more about it today. And just the very beginning paragraph or so, we're going to read that first and find out a little bit about what happened in 2011. And let's find out now as we read line 1 through 9.
Facebook continues to flourish. Is Facebook ready for 2 billion users and beyond? In 2011, as Facebook inched ever closer to 1 billion active monthly users, it faced a vexing crisis. Uproar about a facial recognition algorithm that tagged people in photos without their consent. 6 years later, and as Facebook nears the 2 billion user milestone, that complaint almost seems quaint.
So Facebook has really changed a lot. Now, 2011 wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago, Actually, in today's society, a lot of things change in short periods of time.
They really do, because they were close to 1 billion active monthly users then. And that seems like a lot to me. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, 1 billion is a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. But they faced a kind of a crisis. What kind of crisis was that?
Well, they said here that they have faced a vexing crisis. So a vexing crisis is something that causes you a great amount of difficulty and is very troublesome.
Right. They really felt upset about it. What are we going to do now? What was it all about?
Well, it was an uproar about a facial recognition algorithm.
Well, that kind of sounds like a lot of words to me. Facial recognition algorithm. What is an algorithm anyway?
Well, it's a set of instructions that it or sequence, and it's used in the programming, right?
That's very good, Linda. It's very close to what an algorithm is. It's pretty exact. An algorithm is another way for setting a number of calculations, and then based on the results of the calculations, computer knows to do something slightly different. So it's a very complex set of instructions that can be done automatically by a computer or artificial intelligence. Here, they're talking about the computer finding faces that it recognizes that you put up on Facebook and then tagging them without anybody putting in the information themselves. And that's what caused such a big uproar, because people were upset that they were getting tagged in pictures without being part of the process.
Nobody seems to want to, you know, say their identity or something. So maybe I would be in a picture with you, Linda, and then everybody would say, oh, that's Peng Laoshi in there. And I say, well, I didn't say you could do that.
Right, exactly. You didn't ask me if I wanted to be tagged.
Right. Like,
and some people, you know, they're very particular about what pictures they want to be seen in. Like, mm-hmm. maybe I don't, that wasn't the right lighting, or I don't look good there. So
I find that problem. Yeah. But, you know, you didn't say they could do it. And it used to be that people would take pictures of people on the street, doing a lot of things. And, like, even in the news now here in Asia, if you're going to, somebody's in the news and their face is so blurred, you can't even say who they are. That's because true. They don't want you to know. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of the privacy thing has gotten mm-hmm. to be a big deal in the world, hasn't it?
Right. Privacy is a very big issue.
Mm-hmm. And so that was one of their things. And they had all these people on there. And of course, you take a group of people, and there might be somebody in there and say, I didn't say you could show me on there. So that kind of gave them a big headache, didn't it?
It mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do about it? Well, now, 6 years later than that, what happened then?
Well, as Facebook nears the 2 billion user milestone, the complaint seems almost quaint. So a milestone is a marker along your journey. So when they're reaching the 2 billion user milestone, it means a mark along their development,
right.
But that this complaint of the algorithm that tags people's faces without them being part of the process seems quaint now because they have more serious problems. So something right. that's quaint is something that is sort of simple.
Old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
We talk about quaint buildings or quaint things for old times, right?
Some people would even give it the association of cute. But not necessarily. It depends on what they're talking
kind
about.
Old,
right?
Yeah.
But cool.
So that's kind of a nothing compared to what they have now. Mm-hmm. That problem is small compared to the one they have now. Is
exactly.
that right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So now the problems are getting bigger and bigger. So let's read the next section here on page 10 about the problems that are bigger.
Getting bigger means bigger problems. Consider the problems facing the world's biggest social network today. The company is taking fire for spreading propaganda and misinformation, potentially influencing the outcome of elections in the United States and abroad. And it's being criticized for allowing hate and terror groups to foment on its platform. That these setbacks come at a time when Facebook now reaches a quarter of the globe's population only underscores how much the stakes have grown for the company. It connects people in ways never experienced before, providing the only outlet for free speech in some countries. Facebook is one of the few companies in Silicon Valley that can proclaim, without a hint of irony, that it has changed the world. How Facebook navigates its journey toward its next billion users could portend not just the financial health of the company, but also the health of the societies increasingly influenced by its products.
Now, Facebook is the world's biggest social network. Everybody knows that. And it says here in line 12 that the company is taking fire for doing something. When you take fire for something, that means that you are being blamed. They're saying, you didn't do this, you did that. And it kind of feels like you're taking fire, doesn't it?
Right. You're under attack for
you're
something.
You're under attack, right. And what are they taking fire for? What are people blaming them for?
Well, they're under attack for spreading propaganda and misinformation.
Now, that's a very serious thing. Propaganda is what?
Propaganda is a message that's designed to specifically sway someone, usually for political gain, that doesn't usually have anything to do with facts.
Right. It may not be true, but it tries to influence you. And misinformation is what we also call fake news now, right?
Right. Wrong information or right. Things that are not facts.
You know, this is very hard to get the correct information. Even when we write articles for Studio Classroom, we have to keep checking the facts. And sometimes you miss it because there's so many things that people write that is not quite accurate. Isn't that true?
Right. Yeah, we actually, you know, go through fact-checking. It's very intense. We try to make sure that we get all our facts straight.
And so now they say, well, Facebook, you're putting things on there that aren't true. So how are we going to know if it's true or not? And what else does it say? That they're influencing the outcome of elections even. And by doing this, you're putting this on there, and then people are going to vote because of what you said. So you're being influencing the country's presidents and so forth.
Yeah, that's, I think, part of the reason why fake news, at least in recent times, has become such a big issue. Fake news is really actually kind of putting the two things together, the propaganda and the misinformation. So it's intentionally trying to give people incorrect or fake news in order to get them to do something, and in this case, to vote a certain way. And that was a big problem on social media in the 2016 elections in the United States, that there were people who would post fake news in order to try and influence others.
Well, you know, fake news, well, it reminds me that it's nothing quite new, because fake news is not completely everything false. There's just some things are true and some are not.
Right. It could be a mix of facts and incorrect information, and you can't tell the difference, or you don't know what is true and what is not. So that,
you know, the
dangerous.
Very first person that did fake news in all history, that was in the Bible a long time ago when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and Satan came up to Eve and he said, did God really say this? Did God's? And he started giving her some fake news about what God said. That's the very first fake news. So that started a long time ago, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It
did. So that's kind of a thing to twist people's thinking. You say part of the truth, you know, and you don't say the whole truth. So if you want to read about fake news, read the Bible and you'll find out what happened the very first time. But it's still going on today. And it does influence people, doesn't it? And right now, if people don't like somebody or they don't like a certain race of people, they try to do something to stir up hate against them, and they develop this kind of thing, and they put it on Facebook. And it does the same kind of thing. It makes people mad, makes them upset, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. And here we see Facebook is also being criticized for allowing hate groups and terror groups to foment on its platform, so to develop on its platform.
Right, because they can tell you things that make you angry at some country, and you wouldn't even know about it otherwise. So they said you are the ones that are causing that problem, right?
Yeah, so I think here something that's very common on Facebook is Facebook groups. So these are groups of people who have it's kind of like a chat board or a message room, and they talk about things that are interesting to them. Sometimes these groups are open, sometimes they're closed. But this is what they're talking about, allowing these kind of groups that are based in hate or terrorist groups even to be able to develop a way to message and talk to each other and to continue to sort of reinforce these hateful beliefs.
Well, I'm sure that their founder, Mark Zuckerberg, never thought of that when he got started. It just developed into that, didn't
it? Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But these things are a problem for them. They call them setbacks here in line 18. They come at a time when they reach a quarter of the people in the world, of the globe's population. And so it lets us know, it says it underscores here, it shows us how much what they are doing really is, the stakes have grown. What are we going to do about this? This is what they're handling now.
Right, yeah. So using the term stakes here is kind of interesting, because a stake can be a lot of different things. It can be the money that you use to gamble with, but it can also be a personal interest that you have in something. So here when they say that the stakes have grown for the company, it means that this has become a very big and very important thing.
Now what it does here, it says it connects people in ways that nobody ever thought of before, And in some countries, you're not allowed to do a lot of saying things freely in the press, so they put it on Facebook, and so it's kind of like a newspaper to some people, isn't it?
Right, so it's very important in these countries where it's the only outlet for free speech. They don't have another way of expressing themselves. So Facebook can be a very important platform.
However, but I might say that those countries sometimes that don't allow free speech, they don't even let people look at Facebook sometimes.
True.
Because they don't want you to know where
it's blocked.
In some countries it's blocked. And in other countries it's sort of watched. So even though it's
watched,
not blocked, people know they have to be careful about what they put out there because they're afraid that that might come back and harm them.
Well, everybody should be careful what they put on it anyway, though. But it said it's one of the few companies in Silicon Valley, and we all know where that is. It's south of San Francisco and where all of these big new media companies seem to settle.
Right, and all the big tech companies, especially in the West Coast of the United States.
And they can proclaim without a hint of irony. Now, that's a kind of an interesting phrase, that it has changed the world. How can they do this without a hint of irony?
Well, that's a very good question. So when you proclaim something, you sort of like declare it out to the world. And here they're talking about that Facebook is one of the few companies that really changes the world. And when they say without a hint of irony, irony is maybe a little bit difficult to really nail down exactly what people mean. When they say that something is ironic, usually what you say is not actually like the intended result that happens in the real world.
Right.
But here I think they're saying like without a sense of sarcasm or without a sense of it not being true, they can really say that they changed the world.
Right. In other words, yes, without a doubt, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Facebook then navigates its journey, which means when you're navigating something, you're guiding it or leading it, and they're leading the path of Facebook to the next billion users. It could portend not just financial health, but the health of society's influence. To portend, that's a word that maybe some people don't know.
It means to indicate or forecast.
It might show then that it's not just the company, but the health of the countries and the societies that are influenced by it. So it's not only Facebook itself, but what are you doing to help that country or hurting it? Isn't that right?
It's very true. You know, when they're talking about a quarter of the world's population and sort of
a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, and it allows many people to contact and influence each other in ways that haven't been available before. So it's really a very big thing. Literally, it's a big thing.
I'm sure that Mark Zuckerberg and those that worked with him never even imagined that it was going to do that.
No,
I don't think so either.
No. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't know. And so we're going to find out more about it as we read one more section today. Let's look at the second column on page 10 where it talks about how Facebook fights fake news. They are fighting it, aren't they?
They are.
So let's find out what they're doing.
How Facebook fights fake news. Initially, Facebook founder and chief executive Mark Zuckerberg dismissed the notion that his platform helped spread propaganda and partisan clickbait that some say helped Donald Trump win the election. Zuckerberg even went so far as to call the idea crazy. But as criticism mounted, he began addressing the issue more forcefully and accepting his platform's role. Facebook partnered with independent fact-checkers to help vet content. It restricted ads from fake news sites, and it tried to educate users about how to spot hoaxes in several countries undergoing elections. To combat criticism that Facebook only fortifies the echo chamber effect online, the company is testing a related articles feature that will give users more perspectives on the news.
So we read here in this column that actually at the beginning, when they started accusing him, their founder, who is now also the CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, he said, no, That's not true. Facebook doesn't help spread propaganda and what we call this clickbait. Now, clickbait is something I really didn't even understand when I read this. There's a picture here, but can you explain a little bit more about clickbait?
Sure. Clickbait is something that is designed in order to grab people's attention and to encourage them to click on it right away in order to see more information.
Something and then you click on it because you see
it. Yeah, because you see it and you're interested in it. Maybe it's a headline that is super interesting to you. Maybe it's a photo. I think when we're browsing around on the internet, sometimes we'll see photos and headlines that
you want to click on.
You want to click on it, and then it turns out that it's an advertisement for something, or it turns out that it's something that you really didn't quite expect, and you almost feel like you were deceived. But it's designed to catch your attention.
Right.
And so when we say bait, it's like in order to catch you with something that's
reminds
flashy
me of going fishing.
So exactly. It's
you
very
know, you,
much
you,
like
you
going
put
fishing.
Something on the hook to catch the fish. It's like bait, and then they're going to bite on it.
So there you go. Exactly.
And so I think that's where that word came from. It's kind of a new word, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I'm sure that they didn't have it in any books 10 years ago.
No.
No, I'm sure they didn't.
And, so
and it's very tricky now because there are a lot of people who make money by the number of clicks that they get onto their site. And so they're just doing it in order to make money. But there are other people who do it because they really want to expose you to their own type of fake news. And they want to grab your attention and get you to read their website.
But when they first said that to him, to Mark Zuckerberg, he said, oh, come on, that's a crazy idea. Of course it's not, we don't try to do that. But more and more people kept criticizing him. So then what did he have to do then?
Well, he had to address the issue. He had to talk about it and face the issue.
And so he said, okay, well, I guess we have to face it. Everybody's saying it. And so he started accepting his platform's role. Okay, we have to do this. And so then they did something. What did they do about it? The next paragraph starts to tell us what they did about it.
They partnered with independent fact checkers to help vet content. And here, vet means to go through and examine or evaluate the content.
Okay, to just get rid of the things that weren't good. So he had to hire more people to help do that. And what did they do then? They restricted ads from fake news sites.
Yeah, and then they also tried to educate individual Facebook users about how to spot hoaxes. So a hoax is a trick that is designed to trick you. And so it's under
control. Right. Another thing they did in order to combat, which means to fight against this criticism, to answer it, well, they said Facebook only fortifies the echo chamber effect online. That's kind of an interesting phrase there.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't quite familiar with this phrase before reading this article, but it's an environment which someone only comes across information, ideas, or beliefs that is agrees with their way of thinking, and so it gives further support for their point of view.
In other words, you believe that, and so I want to hear from you because you believe it. I don't want to hear from anybody that doesn't believe it. I want to echo the belief.
There you go, exactly.
And so that's why they call it echo chamber effect, so that they only want to put things on. But let's just say everybody says, this person is bad, this person is bad. They might put another article on and might see something good about that person. So they want to combat that, right?
Right, exactly. So Facebook, when you have trending content, it means content that you're interested in by the way that you use Facebook. And if you only see the same content and nothing different, then you have this kind of echo chamber effect where you never see any other perspectives.
You know, that happens sometimes too. I'll read something about somebody and they did this and this and I thought, well, they're terrible. Then I'll read something else of something good they did and I think, well, they're not that bad.
Sure.
Doesn't that happen to you sometimes?
There are so many different sides to so many different issues. It's easy to just get caught into one and think that's the only thing.
And sometimes you don't get all the facts the first time you hear
exactly.
it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what they're trying to do, but that's kind of a big job. And you see a picture here if you have the magazine, and he looks like kind of a young guy trying to sit there and combat this problem of his billions of readers. You kind of feel sorry for him sometimes, right?
It is. Well, you know, Zuckerberg.
I don't know if I feel sorry for him.
He's doing okay. But
but he's trying.
But he does have a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, he does.
And probably much more than he really anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
he's been put into a position where not just for for one country, but for the rest of the world. And that is a lot of weight or a lot of responsibility on your shoulders.
Of course, he's making a lot of money, but that doesn't take care of all the problems that you have. So
that's true. Money does not take care of the problem.
Yeah.
All the problems.
And he seems to be a socially responsible guy.
Right. He's trying very hard.
He's doing different things to try to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. And he has a nice Chinese wife who's helping him, maybe helping him be responsible. But, you know, he is trying very hard, too. Mm-hmm. So we're going to find out a little bit more about how they are continuing to grow and succeed, even through all these criticisms. So we're going to have another whole day to talk about it, and we hope you'll be here with us. So come back tomorrow, and we'll finish the article. A lot of good words in here, and we'll review them tomorrow. Ready?
Yes. Sounds good.
See you tomorrow, then.
See you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.